Have you been wanting to start a podcast but not quite sure where to start? If so, I'd love for you to check out my online course called How to Start a Podcast in 24 Hours. Here we'll dive into all of the things you need to get started. Things like how to name your podcast, which microphone to use, how to edit, and lots more. Go to realdavidezell.com to learn more. That's realdavidezell.com to learn more.
Freedom over fame. Freedom over cycle stays the same.
Welcome in, everyone, to How to Ride a Roller Coaster. I'm your host, David Ezell. Here, we'll talk with business owners and founders on what it's like to ride the roller coaster known as entrepreneurship. How to navigate the highs, the lows, as well as tangible tips that you can use right now to kickstart your business or idea. Let's get to it. Welcome to this episode of How to Ride a Roller Coaster. I'm David Ezell, and today I'm joined by Jamie Dindy. She's the founder of Jamie Dindy Consulting. She believes in really connecting with her clients and identifying their needs in accounting, marketing, and strategy. She tailors services to the specific client versus a one-size-fits-all program. What's going on?
Hey, how's it going, David? Glad to be here.
And it is good. I mean, like we were saying a little bit before we hit record here, I mean, we've known each other for, 25, 30 years now, and it just... Yeah, always great to connect with people that, feels like you've known forever.
Absolutely. Glad to be here.
Heck yeah. So as we get started, let's dive into Jamie Dindy Consulting. How did it come about? What is kind of the background? I mean, I know it's obviously your consulting firm, so there's some entrepreneur stuff kind of pulling out right there. Did you always kind of have that as you were building it, or was that something that you kind of picked up along the way?
Good question. I would say that I actually, surprising enough, I went to and graduated from Louisiana Tech here in Ruston, which Heck is where yeah. I came back to. So go dogs. But I would say that my actual degree is a BFA in graphic design and marketing. So it's not in accounting. I started doing accounting work when I was in college, but I was too stubborn to change my major. So I stuck with the major and then just ended up doing accounting. And so self-taught, learning up as I went, worked with CPAs and realized that I really loved it. And so it literally right out of college, got a job as an office manager and then worked my way up into different businesses, ending up in working in family wealth offices in Shreveport and then in Monroe. And when I moved back to Ruston in 2011, that's whenever I was working as a CFO at a company in West Monroe and had some side, everybody has little side hustles,
Sure.
And was charging a little bit of extra money and, would work late hours at night and it worked out. And then once we got married and started having kids, it realized that, you can't do these late nights and things anymore. So I really had to look at it and say, if I could do these few clients that I have and I could turn it into full time, if I could just make what I'm making at my W-2 job, then I'll be happy. And so I figured out what that would be. And in 2017, whenever I had my first son, that's how Jamie Dindy, but actually I'll give you the quick story of the business name is Helping Businesses from the Ground Up. That's the tagline. And that comes from the song From the Ground Up by Dan and Shay. My husband chose that song for our wedding. It was the theme of our wedding, and then it became the theme of our family and the theme of my business and helping. And so it's all kind of tied in together.
Sounds like it was meant to be then.
It was for sure meant to be. Absolutely. It was divine by God. And I would say that in all of that, it has been a journey over the last seven years since I started the business. So,
yeah, and making that jump, that's kind of what you see and listen to whenever people have their full-time job during the day, but they're also kind of doing their side hustle at night or when they have that extra time. That's always kind of that rule of thumb. It's like when you can make as much on your side hustle as you're doing during the day, maybe that's when it's the good time to jump. So, I mean, I think you're spot on with that. What were some of those biggest hurdles? Like, so whenever that time came, had your son, and it's like, well, this is the time. I think we're gonna do it and jump. I mean, was it kind of a toe in, or were you just like, no, next day, open the door, business name, here we go?
So, funny story behind that is actually I ended up February of 2022. I'm Dave Ramsey ish. And so I was following his, you know, kind of learning and getting debt free and everything. And he had a personality, Christy Wright, that worked for him. And she had written a book called Business Boutique that came out in February of 22. My son was born in May, excuse me, not February, February of 2017. And my son was born in May of 2017. So while I was on maternity leave, I read the book. And it was about becoming an entrepreneur and starting your own business and turning your side hustle into the legit, you know, full-time gig. And so I decided to take the leap, and we had the conversations and looked at the pros and cons. And lo and behold, I put my 2 weeks notice in while I was on maternity leave.
Wow.
Only to have my boss tell me no. And I was like, wait, hold on. So I ended up continuing to work for him for another year while I grew my business with his blessing, basically. And so I was half in, half out. I was working 20 hours for them and 20 hours in my business trying to grow it. And a year later, in July of 2018, he came to me and said, I really need 40 hours. I found a replacement for you. So I think it's time for you to spread your wings and fly. And I was like, hold up, I'm not ready.
Right. I'm still building that nest. I'm still building it.
I had the toe halfway in and he pushed me out. It was like sink or swim time. So that was really scary because I had a plan. And I think that's one of those things that in the entrepreneurial journey that I've talked with other business owners and people, I would say that the number one thing that I can tell you that I have seen is that if you don't have a backup plan, 99% of the time you're gonna succeed. If you have a backup plan, and like you said, you're gonna have a toe in and you're not fully committed to it, it's so much easier to back up and be like, oh, I got this to fall back on, so I'm not all in. And right. So that was him pushing me to do that is what helped me rock it off on it and say, all right, we're doing this. Love so it. That's what I did in 2018.
And so are the majority of your client base now, are they in that same kind of boat, like entrepreneur, small business, growing business, or is it a certain vertical, certain business size?
Some of them, yes, we do have, because we do say, you know, we help businesses from the ground up. So we have businesses that people that come to us and say, hey, I have a business idea. We've helped people, you know, that have started a product and needed to get patents and things. So from literally the start of it, and we help them get the, you know, their LLC set up and their EIN and all of their tax accounts and stuff, go through the whole process. If it's, you know, retail store and what point of sale and what credit card merchant and where you're going to go and licenses and permits and all this stuff. But we also work with, you know, $10 million, $20 million companies that have been around for, 10, 20, 30 years. And so there's just a plethora. I always tell people, I'm like, that's why we say we customize it. We don't have like a price sheet of like, this is how much it costs, because we customize it to each individual business based off of where they're at so that we can meet them there and help them go up from there.
So let's talk about now. What are some of, you know, you've been in business for 7 years now. Mm-hmm. So what are some of those hurdles now? Is it growing? Is it as you grow your business and you bring other people in, training them? Is it how to get the word out about your services? I mean, what are some of those hurdles? Because I know that they're different than day one, but what are some of those hurdles now?
Oh, absolutely. When I look back and I say, okay, where I'm at today is where I wanted to be 5 years ago.
Yeah,
and where I'm
you're almost thankful for the hurdles now. It's like, yes, give me that one. Give me a cash flow problem. Give me that one. Yeah,
exactly. And I'm like, where I want to be 5 years from now, I'm hoping to be there sooner, you know, based off of. So that goes and plays into the strategy of it. And I would say that it took me a really long time, and this is being completely vulnerable and honest and saying I'm really good at giving advice to other people and telling them what to do and how to do. And, you know, but when it came down to it of like, okay, I can't scale. I'm telling people how to scale. I'm telling people how to level their businesses up. And I'm sitting back here being all, you know, imposter syndrome. I don't know if I want to do this. And you
lizard
know,
the, brain. Yep.
Oh, the sacrifices and all the things. And I was just like, okay. And I finally had a friend of mine who is also a client. And she said, one day we had a heart to heart and she was like, all right, girl. She's like, it's time to put your big girl panties on. She was like, you give us this advice, you need to start taking your own damn advice.
That's
and
it.
And I was like, okay. And so that was the point because I had yet to hire any employees. I had interns, I had, you know, people that would help here and there, but it was 100% me. And when I was, you know, up working from home, I had another son and during COVID and working till 2-3 o'clock in the morning and trying to, you know, do all of the things and be mom and be the, it was a lot. And so taking it to the next step and finally hiring someone in 2021. And then, I think it was 2021 that whenever I started running payroll and actually doing payroll and not doing contract labor, that was a big step. That was a scary step because, I mean, I've been doing payroll and taxes and things for people for years. And so to turn around and start doing it on my own and making sure that I was doing it correctly.
Yeah.
So, and I would say as far as the hiring or the biggest hurdle would be the hiring, finding the right people, finding everybody has a hiring problem. They think everybody, but it's one of those things that majority of the time when I have conversations with clients and they're struggling with HR and they're struggling with, you know, I can't get good help. And they're like, you know, I can't afford to pay $12, $18, $20 an hour for a $10 to $12 an hour position. A lot of times I tell them, you know, number one, I would say, look and see, like, well, what's the common denominator here? Is, you know, why are you having the turnover? And really look at and dive into that. And then look at yourself. And are you somebody that you would want to work for?
That's good.
You know, that's a... people talk about micromanaging, and just because you're a business owner, number one, does not mean you're a leader. It does not mean that you're a great manager. It's skills that you have to learn and educate and continuing education and things to go through. So I would say that was a big thing. And I spend a lot of time and a lot of investment in myself and into my team and building the culture that I want, because I have worked in the corporate world for a long time before this and said, I don't want it to be a number, even with a small business, even if you're, you know, talking about 10, 15 people or 5 people, even I want it to be a culture that is here, that we are all a team and we have a really good time getting work done. I can't say enough about the team that we've created and how they have bought into my vision. They have bought into the Jamie Dendy brand, and that says something huge, I feel like. So if you can, if you can get your employees to buy into and understand what makes them tick, and it's not always about the money. It's not always about the money.
You know, it's like that old saying. I mean, people don't leave companies. They leave bosses. You know, when you feel like you're not getting the respect or your voice isn't heard, or like you said, where you don't know where the company's going. You don't know what they stand for. Every day is just kind of like a rudder in the wind. You know, it's okay. Well, now all those other options look a little bit better, or, hey, I want to make more money, or I'm leaving. And I think you're right. You know, it's one thing to think like an entrepreneur, start a business when it's just you, because you're in control of you. You're in control of how you feel, how you handle the day, how you do business. But as soon as other people start to come on, you're right. You have to also educate yourself of thinking differently. It's like, I'm not just in charge of me now. Now I have somebody else who shows up every day. What does that feel like? When they talk to people on Friday evening, when they're talking to friends at dinner, what are they saying about it? You know, because then that's another reflection of the Jamie Dendy brand. Is that something positive that they're saying? Or are they, oh God, I had to go to work again today? You know, and then it's just that. And that kind of thing can matriculate and be toxic and start to cause cracks and everything else. So I love that you're putting that in. And I feel like a lot of times entrepreneurs, as they're starting to grow, they're focused on, I need somebody for this specific position, but then they don't take the time to understand what that person who they just brought into the team is also looking for, what their strengths are, what their goals are, how they work, how you can talk with them and communicate with them, how you can build them up, how to conflict, you know, handle conflicts and things like that. So yeah, I think that that's spot on. That's another great little thing that as you grow, remember that your job as a owner, founder, CEO is also going to change and you have to adapt to that.
Absolutely. And I would just add to that as well, you know, we have weekly meetings and we, you know, talk about strengths and weaknesses and are constantly, when I hire based off of, I wouldn't say it's not all about skill because a lot of things can be taught and trained. Yeah. It's about the person. It's about their determination, their drive and things like that. And I would say, I don't know if you've ever read the book Zone of Genius by Gay Hendricks.
I have not. I'll check that one out.
It's something the girls hear me say all the time whenever I'm like, you know, I understand that you may not like doing sales taxes. It's not something, you know, they're not everything in your job description is something that you're going to love. But whenever we break it down and we look at when we're distributing out work and different things, what are the strengths and weaknesses of your employees? And is it in their zone of genius? And so that's why I ask them all the time, is this in your zone of genius? And they're like, eh. And I'm like, okay, then if it's not, then let's delegate somebody else. Working within their strengths and their weaknesses, because if it's something that you know, aren't good at, it's not something that, you know, again, that goes into the leadership and building yourself up so that you can identify that within your team to put them in roles that they're going to succeed. Yeah. And so I would say that's a huge part of it that I've learned and asking them, you know, what is it that you like to do? You know, we ask those questions during interviews of like, you know, what's one thing that you're, you know, what's one strength that you have and one weakness that you have and all these lists of questions and stuff. But really and truly, like, there is some mindset behind that as far as putting them in the right roles, because I've read some stories and stuff before that, you know, you've had this person that was in this department and they were sucky. They sucked so bad at sales and could not do anything. And then they were going to let them go and they ended up moving them to the marketing team. And oh my gosh, they killed it. And they were the best marketing person ever and worked their way up in the company. Finding out where your employees can benefit you and work to pull out what's deep inside them and their passion. Because that's the thing, as far as entrepreneurs go, man, there are so many out there. There are so many people that are like, oh, I want to be a business owner and stuff. And that's wonderful. And especially I feel like in this day and age, with people, it's so easy to start a business and, you know, podcasters and influencers and TikTokers and all of the things that they can go out there and do. Like, everybody wants to do it and wants to, you know, but at the end of the day, I feel like there can only be so many chiefs. There's got to be some Indians that are still making the coils go. And it's one of those that I even had that conversation with employees that come, or potential employees, and ask them questions of, have you ever thought about having your own business? And some people are like, absolutely not. I don't ever want that drama. I don't ever want that, you know, the responsibility. I just want to do a grind like 9 to 5 and go home and have my, because entrepreneurship is a 24/7.
No doubt.
A lot of people don't realize that, but it is. So finding the balance of that in people that you bring onto your team that can help build it up is definitely a struggle, a hurdle, because it takes time and you have to cultivate that. It's not something that is just ushered in.
Yeah. And I'll definitely make sure to link that book as well so that people can check that out. And it was called The Zone of Genius. Was that, that was it?
Correct. Yep.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's almost kind of like a SWOT analysis, but with a way cooler name for the rest of your team. And
absolutely.
And you're right. I mean, it is so important. And I love that you ask those questions up front and you ask, hey, would you ever want to be a small business owner or an entrepreneur? Because if they say yes, I mean, then that opens a whole other kind of, I don't want to say potential, but it opens a whole other, maybe even mode of thinking. You know, if they're thinking that way already, then maybe it's, they would be perfect for like that advisor, strategic, type role within the business, because they're already starting to maybe think that way anyway. So what are some, now that you're like, again, 7 years in, what have been some of the bigger wins that you've had? Some of those roller coasters, you know, that go up a little bit. Are you eager to dive into the world of podcasting, but not sure where to start? Look no further than How to Create a Podcast in 24 Hours. This dynamic course is your ultimate guide to launching a podcast from scratch in just one day. Learn the ins and outs of podcast creation, from content planning to recording, editing, and promotion. Head over to realdavidezel.com to grab your spot in this transformative course. Unleash your creativity, share your passion, and connect with your audience. Start your podcasting journey today with How to Create a Podcast in 24 Hours.
Well, I do want to point out, because my business is a little bit different on the, this goes back to the previous question, just real quick. When in my business, being a consultant, it's a little bit different than if you're talking like retail or something like that. But I'll give you an example of a client that had an employee that had mentioned at one point about wanting to start her own business.
Yeah.
And she was able to take that employee and mold her and train her and teach her how in the business and raise her up as a leader and as a manager, who then ended up turning around and they started franchising and she started another location somewhere else. Yeah. And they were able to grow and scale that business. So again, it's the communication and talking to your team and, you know, employees and stuff to try to, again, scale and take things to the next level, if that's a goal and something that you want to do.
Absolutely. So, absolutely. I mean, finding those places where they're happy doing it, it's something that everybody is good at. Because like you said, I mean, if you're spending 70% of your time in things that don't fire you up, don't get you excited, you know, then that starts to wear on you. It mm-hmm. starts to become more of that grind. But if you can find that zone of genius, then it you can really kind of put your stamp on it. That's where you shine. You're excited by it. You know, you get a cup of coffee and you're diving in headfirst and excited. Then it's like, okay, well, now I'm going to wrap my arms around this. I'm going to learn as much as I can about it, the difficulties, the problems that come along. I'm going to think strategic, you know,
it's what they say of, you know, if you can figure out a way to make if you can find what you have a passion in and figure out a way to make money at it, you'll never work a day in your life.
Right.
And that's literally what I did and what a lot of entrepreneurs do, being able to help people and start their own businesses. I can help take their dream and help it come to fruition and be successful and turn them into million-dollar businesses, and something that not everybody can do. And it's something I've got 20-something years experience of now, that I've seen the ups and downs. And so to go back to your question of what are some of the wins that I've had over the time, I would say the biggest first was getting this office and taking that next step. You know, there's I feel like in the business roller coaster, okay, we're going to go to that because it is literally that. There are the dips and pivots and things that you go through, but there are mile markers for sure. And so moving from the home office into a physical office. And so, I've been doing real estate investing since 2018, and in 2022, we decided that it was time to move out of the house. And since I had one employee, let's get a little bit bigger and go bigger, go home kind of deal. And so that's what we bought this office. And it has been since then has just taken a completely different road, I would say, because I look back at where I was from home during COVID. Obviously, I would say the biggest thing with everything going virtual, it allowed me to extend my reach out. I was doing a lot of webinars and a lot of trainings and a lot of, you know, Zoom calls all day, every day, and started doing Facebook Lives and finding people that were in Virginia and California and Texas and places that I never would have dreamed, because I was just doing, you know, the local little businesses and boutiques and restaurants and stuff. So to reach out, to be able to help and assist these bigger companies that are across the country, has been a huge thing. And then I would say the next step in that, we did have our grand opening today, which was a huge
congratulations.
Thing.
Congratulations. Yeah.
Be I feel like it was a look, Mom, I made it moment. And I wish she would have been here to see it, but she was here in spirit. And I would say that having the amount of the community coming out and being here and seeing what we've accomplished and to see all the clients that were there was huge. And I think that's the biggest thing, is that I can, looking at the portfolio, and it's not a, you know, beating on my chest kind of proud thing of just, man, we have really helped some amazing businesses to reach places that they may not have been able to without our assistance and support. And we hear the testimonies and things and all, but when I really sit back and look, and I'm like, God, I'm so humbled to know that we've had just a little bit of part in helping that and helping them to be successful and all. And then the last thing I would say would be last year, whenever I took the leap to do the tax strategy and taking my business to the next level. And the only way I was able to do that was because I had hired a wonderful team that was able to take all of the work off of my plate.
Right.
You know, these were things and goals that I wanted to take to the next level. But when you're the one working in the business, you can't work on it and you can't grow it. And so being able to have them that took back, and I literally would sit here and like, I haven't reconciled a bank statement in 6 months. What am I supposed to do all day? And it was like,
Well, that means that you're doing it right. If you've put in that many, you know, policies and procedures to where you do look down and you're saying, man, the stuff that I used to do every single day, day in and day out, I haven't done that in 6 months and it's still getting done the right way. Means you've hired the right people, you've put in the right processes, and you guys have figured out that streamlined process to where it just runs.
It's efficient, it flows. We have all of the things, but it boils down to the team and the culture that we have built here. And I will die on that hill as far as the culture goes that we have built here. And I tell the girls that all the time. We have our mission. We know what our vision is, and we make decisions based off of that. And that's something that a lot of businesses don't put forth that effort to put that in place ahead of time, because it's kind of cliche and it's like, no, we don't need a mission.
And it takes work. It is really hard. It's one thing to come up with the verbiage just to have on your website where it's like, oh, we believe in helping small, but whatever.
Right.
But to really get down to the nitty gritty to find out why you get out of bed and why somebody that you're going to hire should care.
Okay.
That's hard. And especially, like you said, where you make decisions based off of it. Is this going back to our core mission or not? And can we say no to a potential piece of business because it doesn't? Or it's not going to be the right move for us. They're going to be a time and an energy waste, even though they're going to pay well. Can we say no because it doesn't line up? That's the hard work to do. So kudos to that.
It's a hard thing to do, but it makes it so black and white. It makes it so cut and dry. There's no emotion to it. And that goes with hiring and firing employees, hiring and firing clients. If they do something that is not fall within that guidelines and things, then it's an easy, like, hey, sorry, it's just not a good fit anymore.
Right.
And you just be done. So,
yeah. You're right. I mean, that's the great thing, is it just makes it so much more clear. You're not kind of bobbing along saying, oh, well, maybe we should work with them. Maybe we should work with them. And whenever you get to those struggling, unfortunately difficult points, if you don't kind of have that threshold of who you are as a company, it's hard to say why you want to let that client go. But if you've got that cemented, it's like, look, we're pushing in two different directions. It's probably best for both of us that we're not going to continue this. So the clients that you work with now, if you had to say, you know, one or two of like the top things that they come to you guys for that you help with, what would those be?
I'm going to say, since I'm a QuickBooks reseller and a Elite Pro advisor for QuickBooks, I would say the number one thing would be QuickBooks in whatever way, shape, or form. I will throw this out as a little plug of... Do not go get QuickBooks and then call me and go, hey, I'm trying to set up my QuickBooks. Can you help me? I was able to get a discount for, you know, 3 months or 6 months or whatever. Because I'm a reseller, I do pass the discount off to my clients. So you get the discount for the entire life of your subscription, not just for 12 months. So I just pass that off to the clients and give that benefit to them. And I would say that if it's not set up properly, it's what I tell them, you know, garbage in, garbage out. So if it's not done right, you will end up paying more to set it up correctly later. And in some cases, we've had to scratch completely and start over. So that is a very painful, painful process. And I've had clients that have come to us and spent thousands and thousands of dollars paying other consultants to clean up or do. Make sure you have somebody that is QuickBooks certified, that knows what they're doing, because everybody can be a bookkeeper. Everybody can do data entry. But knowing and understanding what's happening in the back end of it, it can damage a lot. And it's one of those things that too, whether it's your banker calling and saying, hey, we need financials because you have loans that are coming up for renewal. If you're wanting to get financing, if you've got, like right now, we've got a lot of workers' comp audits and different general liability audits and things. It's something that you definitely, you got to have financials. You got to know your numbers. So that's one of the biggest things I would say that people come to us for QuickBooks and things. We do sales taxes and payroll taxes and all the things as well. And then the second thing I would say over the last 6 months has been the tax strategy. That we've got clients that are reaching out to us. And so we have where we do a tax assessment for our clients, and they can, it's a one-time deal where we basically look at their previous tax returns. We look at their businesses. We look at their numbers. We see where they're at, and we help them come up with game plans as far as to reduce their tax liability in different ways. And there's a lot of, I would say, false information on, again, we go back to TikTok.
Don't take anything that you see on TikTok for real. Yeah. Especially not tax advice.
I will say that, because there is, you know, we have a TikTok. I haven't, you know, started posting a lot of stuff because it's one of those that I don't think it's the right realm, but it's one of those that you have to know the context. And they're just a blip of information. And they're like, hey, you can do this. And hey, you can do that. It's like, then they call, I have clients call or come in and they're like, hey, can I do this? And I'm like, no, you're not the right entity type. Or no, you're not. And like, well, TikTok said I should do this. And I'm like, no. So yes, in context, it definitely is something that you have to listen to the full thing and make sure that you are qualified before you can go and take some of those tax deductions. So the tax strategy is something that I have really enjoyed getting to meet with more clients, and we've been able to dive in deep to their deal. And this goes all the way into the financials of wealth building, generational wealth, and being able to, as I started at the beginning, I worked for several family wealth offices in the past, and understanding life insurance and, you know, wills and estate planning and things, that I've now been able to pull some of what I learned then and matching it up with the tax strategy certification and things that I got, and able to really help reduce tax liabilities. We had one client that last year was going to have to pay over $175,000 in taxes. And after we worked with them, we put the tax strategies into place, they only had to pay like $30,000.
Wow.
So it's, and it's legal. I mean, everything that we do, we have documentation, we have the ability to show them how to, you know, where to put the money and how to do it, and structure their entities and that sort of thing. So I've thoroughly enjoyed being able to learn more of that, because helping a business start up and figuring out how to get their dream going and being successful, that is definitely a passion.
Yeah.
But when they call and they're in tears because they didn't pay their taxes, you know, quarterly, or they didn't do something correctly, and they're like, I worked so hard and you helped me do this, and I just had to give it all to the IRS, and I'm miserable. Like, what am I working so hard and sacrificing for? And I'm like, okay. And so now I have ways that I can help them to reduce that, and they actually can enjoy it and be, you know, happy about it, because they know that they have a plan in place.
Yep. I mean, that's, like I said, I mean, we were talking before we started the show tonight. I mean, I feel like, especially from an entrepreneur, as you're growing your business standpoint, that is something. And I have looked all over. I mean, because everybody is either, we only do your taxes, or something else. You know, it is so hard to find somebody who's an advisor, who's a consultant, who you can ask questions to and can help you figure out cash flow, what you need to look for, how you need to do things, how you need to think about what it is that you're doing. You know, we're just so focused on what you're doing that it's a lot of times, if finances isn't the core of your business and you just have to do them because it's part of your business.
Right.
It's tough, you know? I mean, I feel like people just kind of struggle through it. It's like, yeah, I've got QuickBooks, but I don't know what the heck I'm doing. I don't know what I've got a shoebox full of all my Chick-fil-A receipts. What do I do with that? I don't even know where it is.
Or trash bags. We've seen trash bags. I'm like, oh gosh.
Yeah. So like I said, I think that's such a valuable thing, especially in the small business world, that just needs to be out there more. I mean, I wish you guys were everywhere because it definitely just needs to be out there more.
Yep. There's a lot of people that are starting to get into it because it is, I will say that in the accounting industry and the groups and things that are out there, it's shifting. It's changing. Right. That there are, you know, becoming to be a lot more tax strategists and advisors and things that are coming. Some are CPA, some are EA, some are not. You know, I've got 25 years of experience in it. It's one of those things that I still say, be careful and make sure that you vet that person and that you get referrals or testimonies or, you know, things that they have a proven track record. Because anybody can say they are a bookkeeper. Anybody can say that they do that. And then that's whenever you get into the whole, you know, you get what you pay for kind of thing, unfortunately.
No doubt. Absolutely. Well, Jamie, how can people keep up with you?
So we have a Facebook, we've got a website, we've got Instagram. We just started a TikTok not too long ago. I don't know how much will be posted on there. But yes, I'm trying to be all over. We have, I'll throw out and say that was my deal this year was I like to be in the back end behind the scenes. I'm not the face of, but my name is the brand. So this year it was getting comfortable with the uncomfortable and putting myself out there more. And so that has been another win, I would say, in being able to do that because it came to my attention whenever I realized that my own family members didn't know what I did for a living.
Oh.
And had my brother-in-law, we'll throw him out there but had him call me and tell me about something. Yeah. And I was like, you're starting a business and you're not calling me? And he was like, no, I'm going to an attorney. And I was like, dude, you do know that's what I do. And he was like, I had no idea that was like, you know, I did QuickBooks, but he didn't know that we actually like started businesses. And I was like, yeah. So we got him set up and we got him going. And he is, I guess this is a couple of months ago, and he was installing his first job today and is starting to roll in the money now. So that is how putting myself out there. So would love for y'all to reach out. Facebook is the number one place that I kind of go to.
You got it. Well, I will make sure that all of those links are in the description. So anybody listening, definitely make sure to check out Jamie, all the awesome things that she's doing. But thank you again for your time. This has been fantastic.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to this episode of How to Ride a Roller Coaster. If you enjoyed today's episode, please consider subscribing, leaving a review on your favorite podcast platform, and connecting on social. You can subscribe and follow on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at Real David Ezell. To learn more about being a guest on the show, go to realdavidezell.com to find out more. Until next time.